The bishop decided he was going to visit one of his local parishes and decided and selected the 12 o'clock noon mass, because usually it was the most populated mass. So he arrived, and the sacristan, who was a little bit of an obsessive type of person, was fudging around and making sure everything was set. Got to be about 3 minutes. The bishop had already put on his mitre and all his vestments and his crozier, and the sacristan looked out towards the congregation, and there was but a handful of people out there. So he didn't know what to do. He walked back in. Then again, he looked out again, and he knew this wasn't a Packer Sunday, so he knew that there should be the normal crowd that's there. But it just wasn't. Finally, he's so frustrated and so anxious about it that he goes back to the bishop and he says, "Bishop, Bishop," he says, it's almost noon to start mass. He says, "Yes." And he says, "There's only a handful of people out there." And the bishop looked at him and said, "Well, did you inform the parish that I was coming?" He says, "No, Bishop, but you know, sometimes the word gets out." Well, the word is out today. And it's John the Baptist who's giving that word. And that word is, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God." There's the one. He's the one that we seek. He's the one that brings life to us. And it affects two of the disciples. And those disciples are John's disciples, individuals who are following John in John's path. So it takes really something for an individual who has all these disciples or these individuals following him to say, "I'm not the one. That one over there, he is. He's the one who is the source. He's the one who has that sense of life." And so it is the two disciples, as we hear in the gospel, go after him. But contextualize it. Take a look. They don't run up to Jesus. They kind of follow him. They're a little bit in the background. And here's the wonderful aspect of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and our God, who comes to us. Jesus turns and addresses them. How many times in our own life does our God come to us? Does Christ come to us, initiates, and then invites? And then he asks them a question. And as I say, in terms of all of the scriptures, when there's a question, the question isn't posed just to the disciples. The question in the Gospels, like this huge finger coming out and pointing to you, to me. Jesus says, "What are you looking for? What do you seek? What are you looking for?" Now, some individuals might come up and say, "Well, looking for security," or some individuals might come out and say, "We're looking out of curiosity to learn." But the true believer, and I think for all of us, is we are looking for peace. And that peace comes in a relationship. The relationship and the confidence that God is with us. So no matter what difficulties we face in life, no matter what struggles we have to bear, or what immediate joys come in, we know that there is always a peace, because that peace is we belong to God and our God belongs to us. Then Jesus says to them, or they say to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come, enter in this relationship." And I think at that time, especially the one, Andrew, what happens to him is what similar to happens to almost all of us. He falls in love. He falls in love. Now, that's an analogous way of talking about the relationship that we have to Jesus, but it's certainly true. Andrew falls in love. He sees in this person someone he cannot live without. And think about when two individuals fall in love, when husband, wife, even mothers and fathers and their children, and children with their parents, when they understand that love, when they understand the basis of that love, They diminish it if they don't understand that it really is a call from God to recognize His presence in that relationship. And here is the ultimate relationship. The person with Jesus fell in love. An interesting thing about Andrew knew immediately that he could not live without the Lord. What does love do to you? Love forces you to proclaim that you're in love. You can't keep it quiet. And neither could Andrew. And a wonderful thing about Andrew was the fact, if you take a look at him as a person, Andrew, one of the first people he runs to tell is who? His brother, Simon. Come. We've discovered the Lord. And I want literally you to share in this which I know, this love which I know. I want you to share in it. Now, we would scratch our head a little bit, because what happens is, obviously we know Simon Peter comes, he meets the Lord, and what happens in the rest of the gospel? We rarely hear a few times about Andrew, but we're always hearing about Peter. Peter, who's selected to be the first among the apostles. Peter, who makes the confessional statement of "You are the Son of the living God." Peter, whose buffoonery sometimes kind of bemuddles our minds, you know, as he says, "You won't wash my feet, you won't do that." Or, "Lord, then 7 times 7? Oh, then 70 times 7, you know. So, interesting thing in terms of Peter. Peter seems to get the attention. The beautiful thing about Andrew is it doesn't matter. You know why? Because if you're in love, it doesn't matter whether you're first or second or third. It only matters that you know that you're in love and that other person loves you. Status has no more a part in the relationship. The relationship is primary. It is that relationship with Jesus. And so the movement, obvious with Andrew, is to go out and proclaim. And that's the second aspect of the wonderful thing about Andrew. Andrew, all throughout his ministry, and it will continue on until his death, and he dies on a cross, literally, that is more in the form of an X. Andrew is crucified on a cross that is in the form of the X. What you have immediately in Andrew, you have someone who is bringing others to the Lord. A task every one of us who loves Jesus is called to do. To bring others to the Lord. To bring others to the understanding of this person with whom he is in love and whom he is following. This is the rabbi. This is the teacher whom he listens to and has the words of life. When we take a look at Peter coming, what happens? When Peter comes before the Lord does something to Peter, doesn't he? What he does, the first thing he does to Simon, he says, "You know, your name's going to be changed. Your name's going to be changed." And you know what? When you're in love, you can't be the same. When you enter into a relationship and are loved, you have to be different. Love forces you to be different because you can no longer live in isolation. You know you are in a relationship with that person that you're in love with. You have to be different. You adjust your schedules. You adjust everything that you're doing in order to be present to that person. And so here it is that Jesus names Simon Peter. You were named at baptism. You were given a name and brought into the relationship of the Trinity. For many of you here today, you were also named again in confirmation. Always affirming that relationship with the Lord. Always affirming that we are made anew in and through Him. That is the aspect and the wonder and the beauty of love. If we're asking the Lord today, where are you staying? He is staying with us in word and in sacrament. The aspect that we have to ask ourselves is, do we understand the great relationship that has been given to us? God bless all of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.